Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where you will always hear a powerful story to uplift, inspire, and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I'm your host, Jody Curacosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this incredible journey with Jesus. As I was praying about this episode, I really sensed the Lord wanting to highlight the power of forgiveness. That's why we're re-airing a portion of an interview I did with Darlene Davis back in March 2023, because her story is such a profound example of what God can do when we choose to forgive as He's called us to. And if you want to hear the full conversation, I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode as well. It's packed with even more powerful moments and insights. Darlene's story is one of resilience, transformation, and God's redeeming love. Raised by a mother who taught her to be self-reliant after she herself was abandoned, Darlene learned early on how to work hard and stand on her own two feet. But it was in her marriage that God called her deeper to a walk of forgiveness that stretched her, shaped her, and ultimately brought healing and restoration. Colossians 3:13 tells us, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Forgiveness isn't just for the other person, it's for us. It's the key that unlocks freedom in our own hearts and opens the door for God to move powerfully in the lives of those we forgive. So as you listen today, I pray you'll open your heart to what God might want to say to you, and that you'll be encouraged by the incredible way He works when we say yes to His call to forgive. Let's join that conversation now.
Clean. But you know, Darlene, because your mom taught you to be self-reliant, when you graduated from high school, you went right into the workforce. And at that time, you were still really active in your church. In fact, you got active in your church right away when you became a believer. Mm-hmm. So what were some of those tough decisions and life-altering choices that you had to make in your early 20s? And how did you decide what path to take?
My mother, because she was left by my father, she raised me that there was not a man on the face of the earth that you could trust. And so you have to be able to take care of yourself. So during the summers when other people were running around and doing things, she sent us to sewing school, me and my sister, sewing one. The next year, advanced sewing, typing, shorthand, bookkeeping. We were not allowed to just laze around. And when we were home, we were doing chores, scrubbing floors, baseboards cleaned every Saturday. I mean, just, she was amazing. She wanted to make sure we were fit and trained.
And you also were in a relationship with a young man, heading toward marriage. That was a hard decision to make as well. Tell us about that.
We dated 5 years and we were engaged the last one or two. I had never heard the scripture of not being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And so I just thought when we got married, he'd come to church with me, but he would not go to church with me before that. Maybe once. We were, you know, headed to marriage, but God intervened.
And during that time, there was a really great hunger for the Lord in our nation. And youth in your church were no exception. So you would take them to hear various evangelists and Christian speakers that came to town. And you ended up actually marrying one of those speakers. And how did that happen?
Now, this is a story, Jody. Well, I'm at church all the time, like I said. And by now, I'm in my early 20s. Maybe at this time, maybe I'm 23, 24. And I was getting all my teenage girls. I had them in my class, my Sunday school class. I'm at a youth revival with my girls. So then the man who came to speak all week said, "I have a young man with me that has a fabulous testimony. He's a recent friend of mine. And for this first night, he's going to be here to share this testimony." He introduced Bill Davis. So Bill Davis gets up and he shares his testimony, which was mortifying to me that has never had a cigarette unlit in my mouth. And here this man gets up and said he robbed banks, that he was a $100-a-day heroin addict, that he was in prison and jail 4.5 years. I thought, my goodness, he is disgusting. And so after he finished sharing, he was standing at the front. And so I decided, oh, I've got all these girls. I look like I, you know, have some type of leadership. I better go and say something to him. So I went up and shook his hand and I said, I was impressed with your testimony. And he said, I didn't give my testimony to impress anyone, but to lead them closer to Jesus. I thought, oh my goodness, he is disgusting. And so I decided I would not go back the rest of the week if this is the kind of meeting we're going to have. So I went home, tried to go to sleep. I could not sleep. And I used to go to sleep really easily. So I tried, you know, all the typical counting sheep, doing everything. And all of a sudden I said, I know what I'll do. I'll read my Bible. I always fall asleep when I read my Bible. So I just did one of those where you just open it up and it opened up to the second chapter of Acts. And I said, why did I open up to that? I just taught a few months ago this to my Sunday school class. All of this is not for today. But I could not go to sleep. And I said, okay, Lord, if you'll let me go to sleep, I'll go back tomorrow night. I'll go the rest of the week to the revival. Closed my eyes and went right back to sleep. But I had said, please give me a peace. So I walk in with my girls the next night and I had a peace about it. And it was good because Bill Davis was not there. So we had great services. And I noticed that Jim and Donna Kay, who were the music and youth leaders, were by the end of the week, they were really, or the middle of the week, they were just full of joy. They're always great, but they just seemed more joyful. And I said, what in the world happened to y'all? And they said, well, Monty prayed for us and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit last night. And I said, uh-oh, you're going to lose your job, which they did not too long after that. But I had this godly jealousy. I wanted that. I mean, I've always loved the Lord, but I wanted that joy that I did not have, that extra joy to come along with it. And so I kept going to the meetings. And the last night of the revival, Monty had a friend named Kenny Graham who lived over in Clearwater. I think he was 17 at the time, almost 18. And I think he was a senior. And so he came over to the meeting so he could see Monty. So I'm up at the front of the church. I did not know Kenny, had never seen him before in my life. And he walks up to the front of the church and he said to me, God sent me here tonight to tell you if you marry the man you're engaged to, you'll be unequally yoked and he will not bless your home. I have to tell you, that was powerful. I did not know what a word of knowledge was, but I didn't need to know because the Spirit of God lived within me and I knew that was truth. I immediately broke my engagement and that's a long story. I won't go through that, but it was just me and Jesus, and I was just going to get everything that I could. I heard that Monty was going to be 2 weeks later, was going to be speaking in Lakeland at Lakeland First Assembly and then Carpenter's Home. And I went and I was the first one up there when they asked if anybody wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was an awesome time in my life. And so I'm at home and I'm reading the newspaper. And I see that Bill Davis is going to be in town again giving his testimony. And I thought, wow, I did not know that he had been in Atlanta with Kenny Graham preaching in the streets of Atlanta on Peachtree Street. They saw miraculous things happen. So this was like Jody said, we're talking in the early 70s, late 60s, and God was on the move. And while he's driving back to Tampa to speak that night at the church, I was going to go hear him. Kenny's driving and the Lord spoke to Bill's innermost being and said, I'm going to introduce you to your wife tonight. And Bill said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. All this is going on quietly inside. And Kenny says about 5 or 10 minutes later, Bill, God just told me he's going to introduce you to your wife tonight. And he said, oh no, God is going to get me back for all those people I robbed, all those drugs I took. He's going to give me the meanest, ugliest woman on the face of the earth. Thank you, God. So he got to the meeting that night and he said he did not scan the audience to see who his bride was because it was really powerful. About 40 children, their young people gave their heart to the Lord. It was really powerful. And when he got off of the stage coming down, I was going to go up to him and see if he, now I heard it totally different. This time I heard it knowing that God doesn't just save you. He can deliver you and set you free.
Yeah. So the reason you had thought he was gross is because you didn't really believe he could change that much, right?
Did not have a clue that you could change like that. Did not know that. And he was coming down the aisle and I'm walking towards him to see if he remembered me.
Which was miraculous in itself, huh?
As he's coming down the aisle, I see him do these funny arm movements. And he told me later he was saying yes, because the Lord pointed me out and said, that is your wife. And so I talked with him, and I wasn't very spiritual of the gifts. And so everyone says, well, what did God say to you? Well, I don't know. I was just in a daze, you know. I just come out of a 5-year relationship. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was just kind of numb. So I met him that night. He asked if I could come to a pancake house and have coffee with him. And so I said, yes, but I'm bringing all my girls. So I was scared to go meet him by myself. I called all their mothers and asked if they could go with me to the restaurant, and then I'd bring them home. And they trusted me and they said yes. And so we had an hour wait because he was going bar preaching with Monty. They were going to bars. He would stand up on the stage and give his story. And he said, drunks come to the Lord easily. So while he's doing that, I'm at Jim and Donna Kay's house at the church parsonage, and I wept and wept for the whole time, and I had not a clue why. I asked the Lord many years later why I wept like that, and he said, you were raised by a single mom, you were independent, and you were going to be meeting a man that you need to have that independence broken away. And so God just broke a whole bunch of, you know, he didn't make me totally not independent, but he just had to take away some ideas and things that had been instilled in me. At the restaurant, he said, I'm going to be in Sarasota speaking tomorrow. Can you come down? I'm going to be speaking at another youth revival. And I said, yeah, I guess. I'm geographically challenged. And so back then they didn't have GPS and Google Maps. And, you know, it was, okay, you go on this highway and then you take a left there and a right there. And I made it. So after the meeting, it was really awesome. All these young people gave their heart to the Lord. And we were at Nanti's fiance's house, Susan, and Bill is sitting on the floor and I'm up on the couch, and he turned around to me and he said, will you marry me? And this is Saturday. I had met him the day before. And I said, yes.
So, yeah. So you became the wife of a traveling evangelist, which, I mean, that might seem glamorous and it might even seem, you know, holy and godly to some. But the reality is a bit different. What were those first years like? I mean, you barely knew each other. You're getting to know one another. And your backgrounds were quite different. So what was that like?
And, you know, everybody asks me why, and I can't really tell you, except that God orchestrated my life. He knows our beginnings from the end. But we did not get married for 4 months, but we don't recommend this to anyone. You need to get to know each other and get to know who it is that you're going to be marrying. And we didn't, and it led to a lot of problems. I don't know how we made it through that. From June till November when we got married, he was out on the road ministering. So we only saw each other 17 days. How do you get to know somebody in 17 days?
Things going to change.
That's right. It was really difficult, but God was faithful. When we first got married, Bill, on our honeymoon, something happened and he got really angry. And I had never seen that during our 17 days of courtship in that fort. And he thought when God delivered him from everything else, he had delivered him from anger. But he had not. And so life was pretty. Now, Bill never, ever has physically attacked me or hit me or anything like that. But he was just angry and would say mean things. And so I was working at a bank at this time, and he was associate pastor. This was before he started traveling, ministering, and he was associate pastor at a church. And since I worked, I would leave the services right when they were over, and he would stay sometimes an hour or two to minister to people. And so I went home, and one night I'm in, this is towards the end of the first year of our marriage, probably. And I was in bed sound asleep. He came home from church and he was angry. He woke me up out of a dead sleep, hollering at me. And I was scared, and I'm a really pretty together person, but when you're woken up out of a dead sleep, you know, you just kind of react. And he was really angry, and I said, "Lord, would you please shut him up?" Well, God is faithful. Bill Davis fell over on our bed like a dead man. His legs were even stiff out in the air, and his eyes were closed, and I jumped up off that bed, and I said, "Oh, Lord, I just told you to shut him up, not kill him." And I really thought he was dead. And then all of a sudden, his eyes opened, but he could not open his mouth to speak one word. And I had a steno pad and a pencil on my dresser, or pen, and I held it up, and he wrote, "Darlene, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk to you that way." And then he closed his eyes, and his legs were still out, sticking off the bed, up straight. And I heard him say, "Lord, is that you?" So he went into a vision, and I didn't know anything about this stuff. I was still petrified, but I was so thrilled he was shut up. And so I'm standing there, and I hear him say, "Lord, is that you?" And then I hear him say, "Oh, I'd love to hold your hand." And so Bill's hand went up in the air, and it was clasped, his fingers down, like he was holding someone's hand. And everywhere they walked, his feet were moving like he was walking. And the Lord showed him many things in heaven. He showed him all he had for him. You know, all of us that are followers of Jesus, God has things for our futures, but it's our choice whether we choose to follow what he has for us. And so the Lord showed him what he had for him and showed him lots of things. And at the end, I hear Bill saying, "No, Lord, I can't see who that is. Can you bring them closer?" And then he says, "I still can't tell, but she's beautiful and she's dressed in white. Can you bring her closer?" So all of a sudden, Bill began to weep, and he said, "Oh, Lord, that's Darlene, and she's beautiful." And the Lord spoke to him. Now, Bill had to tell me what the Lord said because I could not hear. They had a closed conversation. So he told me what was going on when he came out of this vision. The Lord said, "This is the wife that I've given you, and you have mistreated her, and I don't desire that in your life any longer." And Bill began to weep and cry, and the Lord dropped his hand, and he sat up, and he said, "Lord, my heart is so hard. Will you please help me?" And you know, any of us, when we cry out help to the Lord, he answers that because we are saying to him, "I can't do anything without you." And that's what he's waiting for, to come alongside and help us. And so I saw Bill put his arms out straight, and he said that the Lord had a sword on fire, and he came and pierced his heart. And Bill let out a loud holler, scream. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Tonight is the beginning, and one day you will be able to love Darlene the way I want you to love her." Well, he came out of the vision. He told me everything, and I thought, wow.
And that action had some consequences for your family and for your life.
I mean, yeah. You know, we're in the, the drive-through lane of, we want everything. When, you know, if somebody in front of you is ordering too much, you think, "Oh, what are they doing? Ordering everything in the store." And I mean, everybody wants everything right now. And so I thought I had it right now. Well, the next day he went back to being an angry man, and I never, for 9 more years, I never told him he was an angry man. I didn't get in a fight about it. I just clammed up and took it all within and resented him.
So, Darlene, all this time, you know, this is still early in your marriage, and Bill was still an angry man. you still were encountering that anger, and it was pretty miserable. So how did you get through that? And you definitely saw God working in your lives, but of course it wasn't necessarily when you meant kind of mentioned when you wanted it to be over. But finally it was over. Tell that story because it's pretty remarkable.
I went to a Bible study with all my dear friends now. We all went. Joanne Kent wrote amazing Bible study for years. And I went to the leaders meeting, and then we had our groups later on in the week. I always got great answers because I love studying the Word. But the unforgiveness and the hate that I had for my husband overtook me, and I could not even concentrate when I was doing my Bible study. And I'd get to the class and hear everybody would have these great answers, and I'd say, oh my Lord, God, why aren't you speaking to me anymore? What do I need to do? And he would say, forgive Bill. I say, oh no, I can't do that. He has hurt me too much. Go a few more months and go back to him again, hoping that he had forgot what he told me the first time. Lord, what do I need to do to hear from you again? And he said, forgive Bill. And it took the third time for him to do that for me and to get through to me. So I said, okay, God, I'm honest with you because you know my heart anyway. I don't feel like doing this, but I'm a lover of your word. And your word says we must forgive. We don't have an option. Because the enemy wants you in unforgiveness, because, man, if you're in unforgiveness with one person, you do the next one, it's a disease. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to forgive him. I'm just going to say it, but you know my heart, and I'm trusting you with my heart. And so I asked the Lord to forgive me for an unforgiving spirit. And then I listed, you know, the love chapter, I think it's verse 5, it says, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Well, I had an account book, and his name was there, and all the big times that I was holding against him, of things he had said and done to me and to embarrass me at family reunions or whatever. And I said, okay, Lord, and I listed all the ones that came to my mind very readily. And then I said, Lord, if there's anything else, I just choose to forgive him of those also. And when I finished, I did not feel any different. I didn't feel like now, oh boy, I've forgiven him. I'm restored. Everything's great. That's not the way it happened. But I wasn't looking to that. I was trusting his word. His word is true. And I know if I obey it, he will meet me in magnificent ways. And so I started, if he said anything or something that would hurt me, immediately inside, I'd say, I forgive him. I choose to forgive him. And I, in all the years of the 10 years of our marriage up until then, I was so hurt. I never ever put my arm around him unless people were around to impress. I never said an I love you unless he said I love you first, and I would just say I love you too. And all of a sudden I'd find my arm around him, or I'd find myself saying I love you, Bill Davis. And it just shocked me, because God, he is so honorable. He always honors you if you will trust and do what he says. And because of that, Bill was being loved when he didn't deserve to be loved. He was being forgiven when he didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. And he just started changing. He was turning into the man that I thought I was marrying, but it took 10 years to get there. And so by this time, he's out traveling, and he'd be gone 6 to 12 weeks at a time, and I'd be home with our 4 children, Shelley and Allison and Seth and Kent. And I would be there taking them to their ball games, their practices, you know, everything. He would send me checks in the mail. I remember people would say, oh, I'm so sorry, Darlene, I'll pray for you with him gone so long. And inside I was saying, yes, he's gone for 6 to 12 weeks. You know what I mean? That was terrible. So God really had to work on me with the forgiveness. So Bill and I, after I'd gone through what I did that night, forgiving Bill, and you know, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that night when he called me to forgive Bill, I stood up and I actually took a step over. I had to physically say I was stepping into Christ Jesus and leaving Darlene over here. And that's how I forgave him. Because I knew through him I could do anything. So he said, okay, Darlene, all these churches I'm speaking at in the Midwest, all these ones in Minnesota, they want to have a women's conference and you're going to speak. And I thought, how can I speak? I hate my husband. So anyway, even though God was working, he hadn't worked enough that I was wanting to do that. So anyway, I said, okay, we get up there to Minnesota and I'm supposed to speak the next morning. We are in a bedroom with two, maybe double beds, a twin bed for the girls. And we carried a porta crib with us. And I thought, how am I going to study with all of these kids? And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door and it is a Bob and Linda Toner. I did not know them, but Bill did. And they said, we came to take your four children so you could study. I just kind of pushed them out the door with a complete stranger. They became very, very dear friends of ours. And Bill is getting revelation. He's on one bed, I'm on the other. I'm looking through and I'm trying to work up a message, and it was horrible. I mean, if God doesn't speak something to you, making up something is really the pits. So Bill kept saying, what's he saying to you? He's really speaking to me. And I kept saying nothing. So finally, he said, come here a minute. So we stood up and he said, Darlene, why don't you share with all those ladies what it's been like living with an angry man? I have never been so shocked in my life. I said, Bill, you would let me get up there and share what we've gone through? He said, yes. He said, there's probably a lot of other women that live with angry men. And so we held each other and cried for so long. I can't tell you how long it was. All I know is we felt this warmth and this like a holy balm just coming over us and healing us. And so I got up the next day and I cried through my testimony, and God met me in a great way. And I started sharing it at marriage seminars, and when we do them, we started doing them because God redeemed our marriage.
Yeah, and you mentioned that transparency and that healing, it opened new doors for a marriage ministry for both of you. You learned a lot in those 10 years of marriage, and even since then. What are some of those principles that you lived and that you share about marriage that have helped others?
Maybe down the road, 6 months, I share this and people will come up to me, women, and say, with you sharing this all the time, why don't you start unforgiveness and hating him all over again? And I said, you know, that's a great question. I need to ask God. So I asked God and he told me, he said, you remember that night in the hotel room when you felt that warmth all over you? And I said, I will never forget that. I've never experienced anything like it before or after. And he said, I poured a holy anointing oil all over you both. And where there were wounds and scars, I put new flesh. And I think the only scars we're allowed to walk around with are like Jesus, you know, the ones that from Jesus, you know, like he had scars and you remember things. But he did not want me thinking of all those terrible times. He wanted me to know I had forgiven and that he gave us a new marriage. And it's amazing what he did. I know I've talked about it, but I can never talk about it too much. But forgiveness is the key. And Bill and I say forgiveness is a gift we give each other every day. Because, you know, we're going to say something unintentionally or maybe intentionally, and we're going to hurt each other. And we need to be a recipient of God's love instead of getting all upset and going back into unforgiveness. We just have to, you have to be on top of it, because in a marriage, there's many opportunities. I mean, I'd mentioned it before, but unfulfilled expectations. I mean, all of you out there that are listening, and you know, your husband's not all he said he would be, and all. You just need to continue praying for him. Never give up praying, because God's faithful. He is faithful. And words of encouragement. Bill is a person who encourages, but he also needs encouragement. He's just amazing at helping me. And he always, if I'm down on myself, he is an encourager. He just kind of turns it all around and makes it for the good.
And you mentioned to me the other day that, you know, people come up to you and say, "Darlene, don't you ever get tired of Bill saying, 'I love you' and how beautiful you are?" What a total change from your early marriage, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I almost get embarrassed if we're around people that I know, you know, Midwesterners are not real verbal that way. And I don't mean that in any bad sense, because some of our dearest friends are Midwesterners. But I'll hit him and I'll say, "Bill, don't do that in front of this couple. You make her feel bad." He said, "Well, I want to make him feel bad that he should be doing it." But he is an encourager, and he loves to bless me and take care of me. He's amazing.
Well, as we close, Darlene, would you share about a woman in the Bible who's inspired, encouraged, or taught you something?
Yes. I love Abigail. You know, when I first read this, I did a teaching on it, and I haven't in years. And Bill said, "I hope you're going to share about Abigail." And so Abigail, this is in 1 Samuel 25. If some of you are not real familiar with the story, you can go and read all the details. I'll just tell you why Abigail is so special to me. She was married to a man named Nabal, and they say about him that he was surly, mean, and bad-tempered, and unfriendly. So kind of sounds familiar, you know, what God did with Bill when he was in that way. And it says that David and his men had been out in the fields near Carmel, where Nabal was with all of his men. It was sheep shearing time. And so David made sure that they were safe the whole time and nothing was gone from them. And so all their men were hungry. And so he sent 10 of his men to David, to Nabal, and asked if he could send some supplies. And they said, "We are men from David's camp." And Nabal just brushed him off. He wouldn't do it. And the men went back, and David was mad that Nabal would be this way to him. And one of the servants went up to Abigail, knowing that she's this wonderful, godly woman, and told her what was happening. And David had told his men to put on their swords. "We're going to go and destroy the entire house of Nabal." And so Abigail got together. I mean, I wrote it down. It's an amazing amount of food and wine. Put them on donkeys to take them to the men. So David saw her coming, and he told her, "If you had not come to me, I was going to just wipe everybody out." And she said, but she told him, "Save yourself from bloodshed. So when you come into your kingship, you will not have blood on your hands." And so she was a wise woman. And so she went back, but they were having a feast, and Nabal was drunk. So she decided not to tell him anything till the next morning. So she went into him the next morning, and she said what she had done. She told them. And the fear came on him, and it says that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone, and that 10 days later, he struck Nabal, and he died. And when David heard, he sent for Abigail to propose to her and become his wife. And Bill, the Lord did not kill Bill, but he changed his hard heart, and he put a heart like David in him. And God, just as he is faithful back, just know that he's going to be faithful to you. Back in the Bible, all the places and people he was faithful, he is going to be faithful to you. Hang in there.
Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:15, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness isn't optional in the life of the believer. It's a command. But here's the amazing part. When we're faithful to forgive, not only does it release us into God's peace and freedom, it also releases those we've forgiven so God can work in their lives. Forgiveness is powerful. It's transformative. It softens hardened hearts, restores relationships, and creates space for God to do what only He can do. Maybe today you're feeling the weight of holding on to an old hurt, or maybe God's nudging you to take that first brave step toward forgiveness. Friend, I encourage you, trust God with this. You don't have to figure it all out or fix it all by yourself, but if you forgive, you open the door wide for His healing, both in your life and in the life of the one you're forgiving. Darlene, would you take a moment and pray for everyone who listens to your amazing God story?
Father, we are so grateful for your love, your great love for all your people, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that every woman that is listening to this, if she is in distress, if she's hurting, if she has been rejected, whatever state that she is in, Father, I ask that something that I said today would bring healing to her, Father, and that the enemy would be put at bay so that she can grow into the woman of God, the wife, the mother that you have intended for her to be, Father. Use whatever we have gone through, whatever I've gone through, Lord, and you have brought me to victory. I ask that you would do the same because you have no favorites. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now I bless you with an adaptation of the beautiful words from Isaiah 61:3. May the Lord bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. May you walk forward in the freedom, healing, and restoration He has prepared for you. And friend, don't forget, you can visit hergodstory.org for today's show notes, the scriptures we shared, and a free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. If you want to help make a difference for others, check out the Widow and Orphan Fund on our website and consider joining us with a gift today. And if you need prayer, we are here for you. Just call or text anytime on our 24/7 prayer line at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. Until next time, keep trusting God, keep walking in forgiveness, and remember, He is still writing your story.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.